Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
Our reading this morning is a little more jarring. It's called A New National Anthem by Ada Limón. The truth is, I've never cared for the national anthem. If you think about it, it's not a good song. Too high for most of us with the rockets' red glare. And then there are the bombs. Always, always, there is war and bombs. Once I sang it at homecoming and threw even the tenacious high school band off key. But the song didn't mean anything, just a call to the field, something to get through before the pummeling of youth. And what of the stanzas we never sing? The third that mentions no refuge could save the hireling and the slave. Perhaps the truth is, every song of this country has an unsung third stanza, something brutal snaking underneath us as we blindly sing the high notes with a beer sloshing in the stands, hoping our team wins. Don't get me wrong, I do like the flag, how it undulates in the wind, like water, elemental, and best when it's humbled, brought to its knees, clung to by someone who has lost everything. When it's not a weapon, when it flickers, when it folds up so perfectly, and you can keep it until it's needed, until you can love it again, until the song in your mouth feels like sustenance. A song where the notes are sung by even the ageless woods, the short grass plains, the Red River Gorge, the fistful of land left unpoisoned. The song that's our birthright, that's sung in silence when it's too hard to go on. That sounds like someone's rough fingers weaving into another's. That sounds like a match being lit in an endless cave. The song that says, your bones are my bones, and my bones are your bones. And isn't that enough? In these times when the future of our nation feels wobbly, when we are so aware of the chasms of our difference, we need to lean on songs that feel like sustenance. So this morning, I'd like to teach you a song like that. The melody, as we know it, comes from the Taizé community in France. And this is a body prayer that goes with it. So I will walk you through the motions, and then the singers who sing well will lead us in the song, okay? So the words are ubi caritas et amor, hands over your heart. Ubi caritas, wherever love and compassion are, there God comes down to us and offers a kiss of peace. So I invite you to stand as you're willing and able. And this is a no-fault kind of experience, right? So embrace the awkwardness. Move as you feel moved to move, even if it's not the ones I just taught you. We'll just go a few times through, and Mark David is going to lead the song. I'll just keep leading the motions.
Ubi caritas. Ubi caritas et ubi caritas Deus ibi veritas et amor. Ubi caritas Deus ibi es. Ubi. Ubi caritas with just the motions. Here we go.
What a beautiful thing to see you all moving together, to see bodies in motion, holding a song, carrying it out and in. How many of us are living in these days yearning for a song in our mouth that feels like sustenance? A song that's sung in silence when it's hard to go on. A song that can hold us when it's exhausting to even name the list of things we know are in need of repair, both in our hearts and in the world around us. A song that reminds us when we need it that we survived the last time we called upon its melody, and therefore, it's likely we'll make it through this too. No matter where we find ourselves physically, emotionally, spiritually, we need a practice that offers us a song in our mouths that feels like sustenance. And I agree with the poet that our current national anthem is not that song. It feels dangerous to speak that opinion out loud, and brave for the poet to have put it in print. But now that we have, we can't stop there. We have an obligation to imagine. What would it take to lay down the rhythm for that new song? This week at the tea with the ministers gathering, we had quite a wide-ranging conversation about the songs that might be preferred. One of our good people even wrote their own new words for a national anthem. We have lots of creative ideas and inspirations among us if we'll dare to dream together. Now, we're focused this week, of course, on the external practices of democracy, the importance of voting and having systems and structures in place that make our voices heard and counted and matter. And all of those systems we know are very tenuous, in need of strengthening. And we here in Unitarian Universalist congregations, as you heard in our beautiful introit, claim democracy as a core principle of our faith. As a faith practice, democracy asks even more of us than just showing up at the polls and studying up on the issues. It asks us to collectively participate in writing that new national anthem that could offer sustenance for all. It asks us to carefully consider how to love God and our neighbor, or perhaps how we practice our love of the holy in how we even regard our neighbors. I mean, not just the folks close enough to borrow a cup of sugar from, but the folks who feel as if they are far, far across the chasm of belief or identity or worldview. Terry Tempest Williams writes, "The human heart is the first home of democracy. It's where we can embrace our questions. Can we be equitable? Can we be generous? Can we listen with our whole beings, not just our minds, and offer our attention rather than our opinions? And do we have enough resolve in our hearts to act courageously, relentlessly, without giving up ever, trusting our fellow citizens to join with us in our determined pursuit of a living democracy?" Whew. I know I'm not alone in saying that these days my own resolve in that direction is wearing very thin. I believe in the idea of trusting my fellow citizens, but with voting rights and reproductive rights and historically accurate education on the line and rhetoric that echoes refrains of repressive and tyrannical regimes, and lots of those fellow citizens seeming okay with all that, our very future is on the line. And I want more than anything for us to dismantle systems that perpetuate violence and disenfranchise so many. Time is short, the stakes are high. So my conviction as a matter of faith and my trust as a matter of practice are in an active duel over this. Am I alone? I've spent a lot of my adult life reckoning with what it means to practice universalism, the second U of our UU faith. And that in the capital U theological sense, the radical notion that a loving God saves everyone, not just the people who have behaved well or believed well, but all people. Because we were born out of a divine love and it is our destiny to return to it, no matter what happened in between. If we believe in this challenging, radical notion of universalism, our job is not to judge our neighbor, but to love our neighbor. Full stop. Not love our neighbor if they love us. Not love our neighbor if they believe in our rights. Not love our neighbor because they have offered us kindness. But love our neighbor because our bones are their bones and their bones are our bones, whether we like it or not. And isn't that enough? Asks the poet. Maybe it's too much, ask I. I say the song that says we belong to one another is, in the elemental sense, is both the most basic statement and the toughest challenge of our faith. It puts us in this strange predicament where we have to really reckon with one of the gaps between an ideal we're thought and the reality of how it has to be lived. Because we've sold ourselves on this idea that democracy means e pluribus unum, out of many, one. But in community, some of the most tragic and damaging habits come when we confuse unity with fusion, a coming together that means something will necessarily have to be lost. A winner will get to set the terms. When we think we need to have lockstep unity as in fusion, we end up with oppression. The group that holds power gets to decide what unity means and who is inside the circle and who is outside it. Everyone else is less than, with some semblance of an idea that they might be able to get in if they try hard enough or become less like themselves. It does simplify things, that kind of unity, but it is brittle. It is easily manipulated, and it stifles even those who are privileged. The center cannot hold. Maybe, writes Ada Limon, every song of this country has an unsung third stanza, something brutal sneaking underneath us as we blindly sing the high notes with a beer sloshing in the stands, hoping our team wins. The brutal thing that snakes underneath us is something we're all living in quite a bit of fear of at this moment. The blind, unquestioning attempts to sing those high notes, reaching for registers not really meant to be sung, propping up a fragile camaraderie. It reaches for our ankles under the bleachers as we begin to suspect our neighbors are not who they say they are, or our team is not as good as we wish it was, or both. And we grow weary of the game, of the song, of the stands, of the beer, but we feel like we need to keep showing up while our sense of unease, our resentment, our mistrust grows. Here's the thing. In a healthy democracy, like in a healthy relationship, it's the space between us where we realize our union. We might make an initial connection that is strong, intense, and delightful, and then we need to figure out how the new connection fits into the life we were living before we met. We have these high ideals of what democracy should look like, and we assume everyone will instantaneously live up to them because they were spoken, because we sing them, because we say them in our Pledge of Allegiance. But what we must do always in human systems is take space to come back together and find out that a little of what we assume to be true about others or ourselves or both has to be revisited, might shift a little. Might shift a lot. We layer those experiences of who we are, who we wish to be, who we see others to be, who they show themselves to be, and we create together a fuller picture of what is true. We see the light of the holy in new ways when we watch it expressed through the different people we meet. And bit by bit, we're changed by the relationship, not because we now agree or are the same, but because we see and know each other. In the space between us is both a deep connection and a sense of something larger and truer than we ever could have known on our own. Buddhist teacher Sharon Salzberg writes, "We have to know ourselves to know where we end and another person begins. And we have to develop the skills to navigate the space between us, or else we will seek wholeness through false means that honor neither us nor those we love." It feels like more than any of us as everyday people in this democracy can possibly do anything about. And it's hard not to carry our despair about the state of things into our most casual encounters with folks who aren't in our circle or who we assume not to be in our circle. Forget loving them. Just tolerating our neighbors has become a bit of a chore, if we're being honest. That woman ahead of me in the checkout grocery store, in the grocery store buying National Enquirer, has to be a fake news believing conspiracy theorist. The person in the Escalade with the NRA sticker on it that just cut me off in traffic must have voted for the other person. I'm not the only one, am I? No single individual has the power to be the root of all that we believe is wrong in the world, but it's convenient to put it on that hapless person living their life next to us, to make the whole compelling story about their participation in everything that's wrong. But the truth is that even with all of the signaling we do of values with our choices of cars or bumper stickers or reading material, we have another thing in common. Parker Palmer writes, "Most of us across the political spectrum have this in common, a shared experience of heartbreak at the condition of our culture, our society, our body politic. That shared heartbreak can build a footbridge of mutual understanding on which we walk toward each other. Our sharpest disagreements need not be the seeds of democracy's destruction. If we know how to hold their tensions in ways that open our hearts, they can become proof of democracy's genius and drivers of its renewal." Now, let me say, I know very few of us have the energy at this moment to take on the full mantle of driving democracy's renewal. But however things go this week, I wonder how we could begin to practice our universalism, starting very close in, with knowing and being in touch with that light of deep goodness that is known by how well it shines in the dark, the light of the love of the holy that resides within us, to take refuge and understand its power and its presence with us as we wait, as we hope through uncertainty, and to allow that light also to reflect off of those closest to us and in widening circles, just like in the practice of the Buddhist metta meditation, to hold it and let it hold us, to let us experience the light, the love, the growth, the truth that can be found if we just open our hearts in trust in the midst of all that is unknown. Let's hold all the truth of all that we are, the commitment that we can be one without being the same, only by continuing to walk toward each other when we can, with open hearts and open hands, will we begin to hear the strains of that new anthem. Only when all are fed, all are free, and all are heard will that song feel like sustenance. Let us work and pray and live toward that day. Amen. May you find this week a mighty oak to hold your confusion, a desert to hold your fears, a sunset to hold your wonder, and an ocean to hold your tears. May we be lifted up to the light of truth, of change, of goodness in this world. Let us keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. Amen.